Running a call center is tough. Leading a sales team is a challenge. Luckily, your hosts know what it takes to succeed. What you can expect from your two guides? Conversations that won't be overly scripted. Definitely not salesy or boring. Just filled with as much value as possible. Each week, Jason and Oliver will bring you topics to help scale your team, increase profits, and actually feel like you are winning. So, if you are ready to up your game and become the best in the business, tune in, take notes, and be prepared to learn. And here they are with another episode of Call Center Confidence. It's Jason Cutter and Oliver Katt.
Welcome back to Call Center Confidence Season 2, Episode Number 1. Oh yes, we are here, 2022. Kicking it off with a bang with a brand new mini series. If you've caught up on our intro of season two, our previous intro episode, nice, short and sweet, it'll be telling you all the latest information about what's coming up this year and this season with all of the exciting topics coming. It's me, Oliver Katt, and of course, it wouldn't be right without the one and only Mr. Jason Cutter. Afternoon, Jason. How you doing? Morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. How's it going?
It is going great, and it's even better to have resumed these shows, getting this time with you, and talking about helping and or bashing call centers. So,
absolutely. And look, there's a lot of hot bombs coming today and throughout the next few episodes. But just a quick reminder, if you are following us on any of our social media pages, or if you're not, check them out. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We are everywhere. You can follow Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Katt on all your social media platforms. Plus, lots more new social media content coming out over the coming weeks and months and years to come. That's right. We are not going anywhere. We are here to stay, and we're here with some awesome content. And to tell us all about what's coming up in today's episode, Jason, over to you.
Yes. And as we go through this, if you have any questions, if you have any ideas, any thoughts, anything sparks, please always email us. You can reach out. It's the easiest way to get a hold of both of us at once. info@callcenterconfidence.com. Obviously, on all the social media platforms, if you want to direct message us, you can. But info@callcenterconfidence.com is an easy way. Go through this. You know, we might reference guides, workbooks, ebooks, things like that to help. So please feel free to reach out to us. And of course, if we can help you in any way, let us know. So where we talked about in the intro prior to this kind of kicking off season two was we, Oliver and I, agreed that we want to focus on the people side, right? Again, most amazing technology, most amazing leads, most amazing, you know, sales process could mean nothing if you don't have the people side worked out, right? Like just fundamentally, you could have the best stuff and just a broken people side, and it's not going to matter. You can also have the most amazing people in a broken system side, and you can usually get pretty good results anyway, which is what we both see. So let's start with what seems to be an interesting trend, and is it true? Is it not true? Does it just feel like this or not? Is why does it seem like employees, like people are harder to manage today? And that's where we want to start off with, like versus 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, depending on how long you've been in the space as you've been a call center leader, or maybe you remember being an employee and you're like, wait, it didn't seem to be this hard for people to manage all of us as a group. Like, why is this so much harder? And so we want to help tackle that, kind of give our feedback and our ideas, because maybe it's harder. Maybe it's not harder. Maybe people are different. Maybe they're not different. Who knows? Oliver, when we talk about this topic, when we talk about people being harder to manage, right? If we say that, yes, it is harder right now, what comes to mind as the reasons why that's true? Before we even get into what to do, or maybe you can pepper those in, but like, why does it feel like people are harder to manage today than ever before?
Okay, first and foremost, I wasn't the model employee when I first started out in call centers 15 plus years ago. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I was a pain to manage. But, you know, I also like to think at the same time I was a model employee. If I'm honest, you know, there's a lot of different factors that kind of play onto why people are harder to manage these days. You know, is it the generation that's growing up through the ranks? Is it the fact that people don't want to work in call centers anymore, which is why more and more call centers are shifting onshore, offshore, nearshore, all over the place? But for me, I think it's a lot to do with attitude. I think it's a lot to do with people working in a call center job nowadays because they kind of feel they have to or they need to. And, you know, it's not what it once was. I mean, back in the day, I mean, the call centers are still the factories of our time. They still employ a lot of people at the same time. But I don't think people want to be there as much as they did 3, 4, 5 years ago. I mean, they offer great employee benefits. They offer great kind of opportunities for people in careers. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And I think I've said this on a few episodes now. If I hadn't have worked in a contact center all those years ago, I wouldn't have had the experience and grown through the ranks as I have done. I think personally, if I look at it from a, you know, a top level down, I don't think the opportunities are there as much as what they were previously when call centers were growing. And I think so many people jumped on that bandwagon to understand that, you know what, we can have a career here at a call center. We can have a career development at these contact centers. I mean, don't get me wrong, they are still there. They are still available. Call centers are growing globally. But I don't think the number of opportunities that are there are as what were there previously, which then leads to people becoming disheartened, people being unhappy, lateness, sickness creeping in. You see it a lot. I mean, sickness levels and lateness levels, Jason, do you think they're quite relevant in the contact centers that you've been working in over the past few years?
Yeah, and it's always an indication to me of something that's not working right, right? Some kind of a company culture, a management issue, a leadership vacuum, people not clear on the mission, vision, values, hiring the wrong people, getting the wrong people on board in the first place. When we look at attendance issues, when I look at that, that's the symptom, but the cause is usually something else, right? A lot of companies might look at it and go, well, people are always going to be sick or call out or be late. It's like, no, the people who really want to be there will be there. But if they don't want to be there, that's how it kind of starts happening. And I agree with you. I think, you know, when I was growing up, especially in the business world, I never thought, hey, a call center is a good job to have. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't something I was thinking about, mm-hmm. not for or against. And really it was, you know, you can see that a lot of people might think, oh, that's a starter job, right? Like working in a restaurant or working in retail or something like that. It's like, okay, I get a call center job and that's where I'm kind of starting. And I think one of the things that makes people harder to manage right now is their expectations, what they think they should be getting, what they feel mm-hmm. like they deserve, who, you know, what should be included. And I'm not talking about free lunches or happy hours on Thursdays. I mean, like what they want from a company, how they want yep. to be led, the fact that whether they need to move up in the company or they need to be a manager, feeling like there's a future, right? Versus I'm just going to go to work and work in this call center like other people did back in the day with careers. I'm just going to do this for the next 20 years, day in and day out. Like that's not a thing. Yeah. But I think a lot of companies still treat people like that, which is you're just a number, you're butts in seats. And if it doesn't work out, I'll go find more people. And then they kind of like create that environment, which then, like you said, makes it hard to manage those people.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, call centers now are, I'm going to use a very American term here, but what is it? A dime a dozen. You know, they're out there. See, like, I'm down with the American kids. So I'm there. You know, I got my slogans going. I was doing some research for a client the other day, and I found an interesting fact on Google, funnily enough, that said there are, and bear in mind, this is a raw number. I don't know how factual it is or completely, but there is approximately or plus 60,000 contact centers in the US today. And that is quoting based on the fact of a minimum of 10 seats in a center. Huh. All right.
Wow.
60,000 contact centers. So think about how many jobs that is. I mean, I know one center in the US, they employ about 15 or 18,000 people in contact centers over the country, let alone globally, right?
Yeah.
How much sickness and lateness is there before you start pulling the plug on some of these people? But as I said, you know, jobs are there, but I think all of these jobs have grown so much. The contact center industry has grown so much that people were looking for that career path. You know, in the middle, like back in the day, for me, contact centers, I mean, when I started, I don't want to use this term loosely, but I was embarrassed to say that I worked in a call center. Because I was going from one job into something completely unknown that everybody's like, oh, oh, you work in one of those dodgy call centers, do you? And that was what was going around at the time. So I was like, yes, I do. Now I look back at that career and I wouldn't change it. But as I was saying a moment ago, and you know, something that you said when you were chatting a second ago was the fact that those opportunities have diminished because the call centers have got to such a peak now that they are struggling to recruit. They are struggling to put bums on seats because either people don't want to be there. I mean, I again, another stat I read recently is everybody, this is the UK, US, Australia, wants to be an entrepreneur. They want to come up their own business. They don't want to be a bum on a seat. And quite rightly, as you said, it's not about the lunches. It's not about the happy hours. It's not about champagne Fridays. No matter what you can do to incentivize people to work in a call center, if their head's not in the game, they're not going to deliver. And ultimately, these things have a knock-on effect on customer service, the clients that you service, the sales that you make, whatever you drive, or the key message, the values that you quite so eloquently put a minute ago, want to be driven within that call center. They're not being adhered to because people just don't want to be there. So that begs the question, do you turn around to people and say, do you want to be here? You move it, you offshore it, you downsize, or you ramp up in another area. What do you do when it gets to the point where you can't recruit, you can't bring people in because people don't want to be managed in that manner anymore? They don't want to be in that office environment. So therefore, it has a knock-on effect to your managers, something we're going to come onto, but you can't manage these people. It becomes unmanageable. I'm working with people at the moment and they see these unmanageable people working within their call centers. And you can see that it drives negativity amongst the rest of the team. How do you lift that up? What do you think people need to do to crack the whip with these types of people?
Well, it's interesting because I'm thinking of lots of answers and lots of topics, which are going to be the topics we're going to cover in this kind of human focused segment that we have. And so I'm trying not to do what we normally do, which is like bounce around and throw in all these things and kind of keep on this path so we can, you know, have these focus episodes. I think the biggest thing is, and this is where the numbers come in, is like, should I offshore? Should I outsource? What should I do? Sometimes those are really good options. In other countries, let's say, you know, I'm in the US, you represent and work with a lot of UK companies. In the US, it is currently hard to get people. Like, we don't need to belabor that. We're going to get to a recruiting portion in these topics when we get to that part, but and we'll focus on that more. Fundamentally, it's hard. It's hard to get people right now in most industries, call center being one of those. Other countries out there, a call center job is an amazing opportunity. And the companies who do it well are the beacon of jobs in those spaces, right? Like, I actually went to a center that was in Belize. They brought me in to help them. And I've actually been a client of them where they helped us with some outsourcing. Great company in Belize, like third largest employer in the country. And they represent like a great company that people are proud to be working for and will do anything to stay and not ever leave. Like so many employees there, such a great culture they've built.
Yeah.
And they take care of their people. And so there's those opportunities. When it's coming to like the US and these challenges and like, what do you do with the people that are difficult to manage? You can't manage them and you're worried about like getting more people. You've got to look from the top down, which is where I'm really like chomping at the bit to get to like the next topics, which is where we talk about the leadership side. But it's really that, right? Like it's a reflection of you. Like one negative, you know, quote is the fish stinks from the head down, right? Like if you're having all these personnel problems, like it's coming from somewhere because not everybody has a personnel problem. If you have a systemic issue, or it seems like, you know, the agents aren't doing this, or they're really difficult to manage. How are you actually managing? Are you micromanaging? Are you hiring the wrong people? Like, we're going to get into these topics. And then on the fundamental side, like, should I outsource? Should I offshore? Maybe yes, right? And if anyone's curious and anyone wants to know or wants a second opinion on that, email us info@callcenterconfidence.com. But because both Oliver and I work with companies all the time where we say you should or you shouldn't. And if you do, here's some options. So we're always here to help. But fundamentally, if you're in the US or the UK, I work with companies where maybe they want 200 people. You're in a market like, okay, do the math. You're in a city that has 1 million people. You need 200. You think you can find 200 people that want to show up for work? The answer to that is yes. That's some easy math, right? Like that's not rocket science. Now, if you're struggling and you're tearing through people all the time, that's you. That's not the demographic, right? It's not the city. If you can't get 100 people to show up for work out of a population that much, that's you, right? And so you have to really look at that. Most companies don't want to look at that. They just think, I'm just going to keep firing everybody and hiring again and again until I find perfect people who show up every day and are easy to manage.
And you know, that's the difficult part in all of this, is finding the right people to replace the bad eggs that you have within the company. And again, we're going to come onto the topics about looking at these people, the recruitment, the backfilling, and everything else that comes with it. But I think it's important to know that when you do get somebody that becomes hard to manage, and trust me, every call center out there listening to this right now is thinking of that one person. If you're a leader, if you're a manager, you're a senior manager, you're a team manager, whatever it might be, I guarantee right now, every single one of you can think of somebody within your team that is a pain in the backside to manage. But the question is, what are you doing about it? Are you sat there? Are you doing something to help and support them? Do they feel that they're not getting support from you, which is why they've become that person? And I think it's ultimately something that you need to remember, that there are good qualities about this person. That's why they started in the first place. It's why they were recruited. So draw that out of them. And I think that's a big top tip for me, is always, you know, so many people focus on the negative of somebody that's hard to manage. Look at the positives. What do they do good? What do they do well? I was working with a group of senior managers the other day, and I asked them to think specifically of that one bad person within their team. And everybody sat there and they could list off a reel of things of exactly why that person's hard to manage. Attitude, behavior. They come in miserable. They've got their face on. You know, they just don't want to be there. And it kind of brings the rest of the team around. I asked them one simple question. Give me one good thing about that person. What do they do well? And they had to sit there and I had to think about it for a few minutes. But eventually they drew something out and they used that to their advantage about how they could bring that person up, how they could pep that person up. And I think that's it's a really big thing to kind of remember. And Jason, the point you just brought up a minute ago about, you know, the fish stinks from the head down, it's a very relevant point. And the reason why I say that is because, again, so many companies that I work with, where senior management bring me in to work with their management team, their supervisory team, but then don't throw the senior management on the same training course. So how do you kind of get their buy-in? How do you roll that uphill when it's supposed to be rolling downhill? And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to do. So if you start with a course like this, where you're bringing somebody in specifically to work with your supervisors or your managers, start with yourselves first. Understand the program, understand what's going on, find out what's happening deep within your team, and then roll that training out to everybody else. Go up, go downhill, not uphill, or don't stop at a certain level. Do you agree with that one?
100%. And I know we're going to talk about that as well, but it's like everyone's got to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to be rowing the same direction. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. And then when you get to the people and it's like, okay, these people are hard to manage. This individual's hard to manage. Are they, is it on them or is it on you? Is it on the company that has A, allowed it and tolerated? Is it on the company because you hired a square peg and you're trying to get them to fit into a round hole? Is it on you because you're not giving them the tools and they feel like disenfranchised and they're upset and unhappy, and that's what's leading to it? Because maybe something was promised in recruiting, something was promised in training, like of what their job was going to be. Like, I see that all the time. It's like, well, when I went through the interview process, they promised me X, Y, and Z. Right. And again, not talking about free lunches. I'm talking about like the training or the leads or the phone calls or the money, right? Like, oh, they promised me, like, if, you know, I'm going to make this much money and I'm going to make this many bonuses, and then it doesn't happen. And then people get upset. So I think that's important. And then I think when it comes to individuals here, right, when we're looking at it, is it a skill problem or a will problem? Like, is somebody hard to manage because they're just not good at their job and they're not good because they haven't been given the tools, or do they not have the will? Are they not in it, right? Like, they're playing the wrong game, or they really don't care, or they're upset or unhappy. For me, what I found is a good thing to deal with it, or to deal with this, is just talk to them. Hey, I've noticed, here's where it is. You're late. You're calling out, you're not performing, you're not making your calls, your QA scores aren't good, like whatever it is, right? That's difficult to manage and you're struggling with. You don't come to meetings, you seem to not care, like whatever. Just call it like it is. Like, what happened? Do you want to be here? I always do that with people. I'll sit down and say, do you want to be here? Because life is too short to do crap that you hate to do. Yeah. This is literally the speech I'll give people. And life is too short to come to a job every day that you can't stand or you don't like or you're not winning at, like, and just wait for the weekends, right? That's miserable for you. It doesn't work for us. Like, and I want you to be happy. Do you want to be here? Yes, I do, but perfect. That's what I want. It's the yes, but what's that but? And then can I help with that, right? But I was promised this, but I thought this was going to happen, but I, you know, whatever. Then that's where you step in as a good leader and manager is okay. And if they say, no, I really don't. Okay. Then let's work together and do this for your sake, right? I want you to be happy. Again, life is too short. I'll usually give them something in my speech about all the different stuff that I've done in life that I don't want to do again. And it's like, just don't. So, I think that's one of the big keys is to just have that conversation. Call it like it is in an empathetic way, not in a mean way. Empathetic. I care about you. Do you want to be here? Because if you want to be here, I will give you everything I've got. Right?
Yeah. And I think that's a very valid point because that just shows strong leadership, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that's a good place to stop here. Obviously, we could keep going, but a lot of these topics, like we keep saying, this topic here in particular is going to go into the leadership, the training, the recruiting, like all Absolutely. Of these things kind of facilitate, lead, or cause easy or difficult managing of employees, the right people or not. So we're going to end this episode here. It's a great place to stop. Hopefully you found some value in this. Please make sure, depending on where you're listening to, if you're listening to this on the podcast, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to share this. If you're listening like on iTunes, leave us a review. That helps. It helps other people find this show and go, should I listen to the show? Yes, this is for me, or it's not for me. We're very happy with that as well, right? Like you want to find shows that you like. If you're watching this as a replay, if you're watching this on YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, like it, share it, put it out there, help us spread this message, especially so people can catch all of these series. If they're managing and people, this is for them. Hopefully you got some value out of this as well. And that's it for this episode. We're going to be on the next one. We're going to continue this, as you probably guessed, on the leadership side, the leadership training and why companies just don't do enough of it. And of course, not just about why they don't, but what they can do instead. Hopefully we'll give you some value and point some things out. But that's it for this episode, and we'll catch you on the next Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Kat.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Call Center Confidence Show with Cutter and Kat. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. For more info about the show, you can always go to www.callcenterconfidence.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.